And from the California election, we move to a newsmaker interview with A. Barry Rand, the chief executive officer of the AARP, formerly known as the American Association of Retired Persons. It's believed to be the country's largest membership organization. Mr. Rand took the post in March of this year after a long career in corporate America, 31 years at Xerox. And now he's turning his attention to a group that serves those 50 years old and older at a pivotal moment in the organization's and the nation's history. As we live through a recession that has destroyed many people's retirement savings, and the country's political leaders grapple with how to improve access to and the affordability of health care, A. Barry Rand joins us now in our studios in Washington. Welcome. Thank you so much for coming.
It's my pleasure to be here.
Now, the AARP claims 40 million members. How do you know? Are these all dues-paying members, or are these the people who are eligible to join?
These are dues-paying members, and that's how we know. We have names and addresses, and at some point in time, we're tracking you.
Oh, dear. A sensitive subject, I might add. We should mention that you are the first African-American to head this organization.
That's what they tell me. For me, though, the issue of being the first is sort of commonplace. I've been a pioneer in that area, so I don't even realize it anymore. I think the big issue is trying to make sure that we get more so we don't have to talk about firsts in any of the fields.
Speaking of that, though, what is the makeup of your organization? Are people of color as members represented in the organization as they are in the rest of the population? Do the numbers match up?
The answer is no. In fact, that's one of our opportunities. If you look at the demographics, we'll wake up one day and 40% of the population will be people of color. And one of our strategies as we go into the future is increasing the awareness in the minority communities. And we see that as a real opportunity for us.
So what are your members telling you their priorities are right now?
The big issue, obviously, is health care, health reform. That's the big issue. And surprisingly, there is a uniformity in the issues associated with it. The average income level, which is surprising to most people, is anywhere from 50 to 55,000. So these are not what some people call the rich old geezers who are trying to get more resources. Close to 68% of the members are still have their kids on their payroll in some form. A high percentage of them have both kids and parents that they care for. So these are people who look at the issue of health reform not from a generational divide, but from a family standpoint.
But given that, there have to be a lot of diversity of concerns. For some people, the concern might be, am I going to keep my health care? For other people, it's probably the affordability issue. So what are AARP's priorities?
For those who don't have access, it is universally access. The second thing is affordability. Inside affordability, one of the top issues is the cost of pharmaceutical drugs. And so you will see a very heavy advocacy associated with the access to pharmaceutical and lower costs.
Is there a horse that you're behind in terms of overhauling our healthcare system? I mean, some people are concerned that the Obama administration has already taken even the concept of a single-payer system off the table. So does your organization have a vision of what healthcare reform should look like?
One of the things is really the cost of healthcare in terms of how it affects the economy. So this is not just healthcare for individuals. The issue at stake here for America is how do we get the economy up and running? How do we revive the economy so that we can protect jobs?
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Tell Me More from NPR News. I'm speaking with the newly appointed chief executive officer of AARP, A. Barry Rand. Let's talk about you for a minute, though, if we could. You, as we mentioned, came to AARP after a very distinguished career at Xerox, where the company won a number of awards for quality, for example. Many people would have said, you know, that's plenty. You're also the chairman of the board of Howard University. Many people would have said, that's plenty. So why did you want this job at this stage of your life?
My view is that I started out involved what I now identify as social change. In the 60s, we called it a lot of things, but I don't think we called it social change, but we called it rebel rousing. we wanted rights for minorities in terms of inclusion. We wanted rights for the aged. We wanted rights for the poor. We wanted rights for women's rights. And so I'm a son of the 60s. That's the environment that I came out of. My parents said, that's what you're supposed to do. My grandfather, who was a minister, said, that's what you're supposed to do. So no matter what path you choose, you have to figure out how to give back. How do you move things forward for those who have been excluded from the American dream? The fundamental pathway through the American adore, the American dream, is having financial security and your health. So I actually don't see the difference. So when people ask me the question, the first time they were asking me the question, I didn't get it, because I think there was an assumption that if you come out of corporate life, you don't feel a personal responsibility to helping to change society and help those who need help.
You know, you were known at Xerox as a pioneer in diversity efforts before this became fashionable. I think a number of people will note that Xerox now is the first Fortune 500 company in the country to have an African-American woman as CEO. Do you think that people have kind of gotten the message that it's important, or is there still kind of a consciousness that needs to be raised about why this matters?
It was fairly obvious why it was important in the 60s, because we were excluded from so many different career paths. And that was the height of our awareness. And so we said, black is beautiful. And a number of us always said, and black is the best. And our opportunity was to prove that. And one of the reasons why I was successful is that my philosophy was that you can't be overly concerned to the point where it disables you when you talk about they're running a flat race and you're running a race with hurdles. Our job was to figure out how to be a better hurdler if you're going to make it. I also thought that when, at least in this corporate arena, that the only way you could gain voice was to show excellence. The other part of the philosophy was you were there to drive change. And so when you came in, you weren't coming in just for yourself. You were coming in to change the system. So you had a responsibility to bring somebody else in. But the goal was not just individual jobs for people in a corporation. The goal was to be able to get into a position to influence the millions of dollars that corporations have, which go to communities. And so we wanted to bring diversity to the distribution of those millions and millions of dollars. And that's what we did.
So the message is diversity and excellence, not incompatible.
It should be the same.
I know you've only been a couple of months on the job, but what benchmarks have you set for yourself? How will you know you have succeeded in this job?
Well, whether you're working in nonprofit or profit, the benchmark is, are you achieving your mission? And so you manage that mission in a very similar way. So the benchmarks are how far we go to having health care for all. How far do we go to having it affordable? How far do we go to help those communities of color that have disparate health issues that need us more than ever? Those are the very clear benchmarks. And it's fairly easy to say whether or not you're successful or not. The advantage this year is that this is the focus. This is a year that we can make substantial progress. And we'll see very clearly what we get out of the bills that will define the degree of health care.
Well, we hope this will be the first conversation, not the last. You'll come back and see us.
I'll come back when you want.
A. Barry Rand is the chief executive officer of the AARP. He assumed the position in March of this year, and he was kind enough to join us in our Washington, D.C. studio. Mr. Rand, thank you so much.
I appreciate it.